Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is fantastic to welcome into the country, finally, William and Danny from Together Pangea. Welcome in, boys.
Hi, thanks.
Nice to finally see Together Pangea in Australia. It's taken a long time for this thing to happen.
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, way too long. We've wanted to come for the past, I don't know, 4 years or something.
Yeah.
So it's cool to finally make it out.
William, I thought that single a couple of years ago, No Oz, might have been a bad omen.
I'm not sure how many people even... I think we only released that on Spotify.
No, it's not even on Spotify.
SoundCloud.
Just a 7-inch.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Have you guys sort of felt like the bridesmaids at home? Have you watched other LA bands coming to Australia and wondered why it wasn't your turn?
Yeah, not so much LA. I mean, the only other... Who else from LA? I mean, yeah, Bleached, you know? That was a couple years ago. We'd see, like, friends... You know, come in and we'd just be like, man, when's this going to happen for us? And glad it finally is happening now.
Yeah, well, it's not for lack of leaving the couch, because this year is the 10th anniversary of Together Pangea. And
oh, man, I never thought about that.
In that time, you've covered a lot of miles and done a lot of touring and got a great live rep. So you haven't been shy of going elsewhere either.
No, I mean, we go where we can. We try to play as much as we can.
What was it like for you guys touring in the early days? Was it rougher? Was it hard work?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to be a lot less responsible.
We used to tour in William's CRV, Honda CRV.
Yeah, with full drum kit.
Yeah, drum kit. Like, somebody would have to sit in the back seat with, like, a bass drum on the lap. And then eventually we got a van, and then the van broke down, and now we just rent. It's all rentals now.
Now you've been banned from every rental company, have you? And that's it?
Not yet.
Still a few more in Australia to cross off the list.
Yeah.
And William, in early days for Pangea, was the party as important a part of the show as the actual performance? Did you guys kind of live the lifestyle for a few years then?
I think it was like a little over the top. Like, some of the shows would end really, I don't know, you can't sound that great if you're just partying, like, when you're performing. So I think early on, there was too much of an emphasis on that. We've sort of calmed down about that stuff.
And the people working with us, like, peripherally, too, in the beginning, kind of encouraged it rather than, like, kept a leash on us, which was not a good thing. I feel like we blew some kind of big opportunities from playing some shows in front of important people a little too...
Too wasted.
A little too wasted, yeah.
You were a band that formed out of college, so you were kind of, like, extending that college life.
Right? Yeah, it formed at CalArts.
Yeah.
Danny went to school there. It's in Southern California.
It was like never having to escape that lifestyle, though.
Yeah. I guess it was, just continued from us playing, like, house parties for the college to, like, venues, but we didn't really change how we did it that much. I didn't use a tuner or anything. We would just kind of get up there and, like, I'd tune by ear, and we'd just kind of
be crazy.
It's kind
of, like, appalling how long it took us to just get tuners.
Yeah.
It's, like, ridiculous.
Just start taking it a little bit seriously.
Two of these, like, 10 years, just, like, didn't even think to get a tuner. And just be like, oh, I think this sounds good.
At the same time, did doing a lot of those kind of shows make you guys pretty resilient? Can Together Pangea kind of take any obstacle that comes your way during a show now?
I feel like we roll with the punches, like, whatever happens. We get
stuff
a lot
still
of, like,
happens, though. Like, William got spit on, like, recently, and...
In the middle of a song, and this dude spit in my eye, so I'm, like, trying to... I mean, I finished the song, no
obviously,
matter what.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, you keep it going. And a lot of times, like, people, like, get up to crowd surf and, like, knock your pedals around or, like, knock out the cable or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of the time, like, the main thing is, like, battling, like, kids who try to use your microphone stand as, like, leverage for jumping off stage.
Yeah.
I've, like, my front teeth are really chipped
as
a result of that.
Yeah, me too. I've got, like, several chipped front teeth.
So one day there will be the Together Pangea, like, do's and don'ts book that comes out.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it seems that there's been a slowly morphing shift in style as well as approach for you guys, especially in the time between Battle Act, the last record, and Bulls and Roosters last year. I mean, did you kind of tire of screaming and being the party-ready band?
I think we just want to try to have songs that you can rage to and songs you can just listen to and appreciate. So there's a little bit of an emphasis on trying to write songs that you can just listen to and chill, or, like, you know, while you're doing the dishes or something. I don't know.
It was also, like, in Los Angeles and in California especially, too, like, the garage rock thing is pretty played out. There's hundreds of bands that are doing the same exact sound and using the same sort of general aesthetic with their, like, music and the visuals and things like that. And I don't know, just kind of getting bored
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do within that mold, and I feel like we kind of finished with that around the time that Battle Act finished.
You got to keep it fresh for yourself too. Like you can't, we can't just keep making the same stuff, or else it just gets boring.
There was a real lightness of touch on Bulls and Roosters last year. A song like "The Cold" had its whistling moment, and "Peach Mirror" was sort of downright pretty and reflective. So, were you checking yourselves when you were putting those songs down on record? Did it feel like the right move?
It felt like the honest move. Like we were just writing what we felt. It's fun to play with people's expectations and things. So throwing a song like "Peach Mirror" in there, I was like, "Check this out. What about this?"
Yeah.
And then it challenges the audience to they're either gonna go with you or not understand it.
And even as you were saying, Danny, about the style of music, I guess it seems stylistically that Pangea branched out for Bulls and Roosters. A song like "Money on It" feels more British Invasion than SoCal.
Totally. And yeah, I don't know. Like it's just us getting over. Working within a certain genre for, you know, a few years, you're just going to get bored. And again, there's just too much of that going on in LA already and in California already. So it just felt like a good thing to just try to do something different. And the new thing we just recorded before we came here pretty much sounds like nothing like
nothing like anything we've ever done.
Yeah, even Better Find Out sounded more like the Buzzcocks than an American band.
I think that the first chord is the same first chord as
Ever Fallen in Love.
Yeah, it's just the same chord, but it doesn't sound.
Have you had old English crumpet guys coming up to you at shows and telling you it sounds like that?
Not yet.
And we spent way too much time in the UK on our last tour, so we would have thought it might have happened, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Danny, you stepped up a lot more on Bulls and Roosters as well, because Kmart Avenue was the first song for the band that you'd written and sung, is that right?
Yep, that one, and I got two others on there that I wrote and sang. Actually, I think William sings Kenmore. But
well,
yeah.
You sing in the chorus.
But yeah, I wrote those ones.
Did you have to encourage this guy, William, or how did it happen?
I didn't need to encourage him. He just started writing songs and bringing them to the band, and we would start playing them, and we were like, these are solid.
I hadn't written a song in like 5 years, and then I wrote like 10, like all at once when I went to rehab.
Yeah, so. Well, that seems to have extended to this new song you've just released as well called Praise.
Yeah, that's another one.
In terms of content, is probably the most confessional and serious that Pangea have ever been. Did going through something like that make you feel like writing songs or a different kind of song?
It mostly was just that, like, you don't have much to do, and it's kind of hard to connect with some of the types of people that are stuck in rehab in like a place like California. Like, there's a lot of nonviolent drug offenders, for example, that because our prisons are so overcrowded, they'll send them to rehabilitation centers to do their sentence and do community service and things like that, which is really great. But basically, I had a guitar in my dorm room that I shared with three other guys, and I would sneak up and away from like everybody every once in a while whenever I could and just play the guitar, and that was just like a good like little escape, because you don't have a phone in there, you don't have any way to talk to anybody, you're just kind of like stuck with these people.
Yeah, it must have been a bit of a salvation not having to circulate with some of the other people in there.
Yeah,
like you could kind of use that as the weapon and say, look, I'm busy.
Yeah, I got in trouble a couple times too, because I wasn't supposed to go into my room alone at any time, but I would like sneak up there and just do it. So I wrote a lot of songs that way.
You also learned how to make spread.
Yeah, spread. Do you know what spread is?
No, it's like a prison food.
It's prison food.
Okay.
It's like
something crazy.
No, it's like commissary. Like all these dudes in prison learn how to make these crazy dishes out of stuff you can get from the commissary, because like food in prison apparently, you know.
Yeah, right. So it's food made out of like glue and horsehair or something.
It's like weird. Like spread is a ramen and mayonnaise and chicharrón,
dried noodles.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy thing, but it's actually really good.
And you make it in a trash bag.
Well, I'm glad to hear that not only did Pangea get songs out of your stint there, but also perhaps
culinary
skills. Spread when he got back.
Not that I want you to have to go back for the next record.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, I think your time is done. But it's so great to finally have you guys in the country. We will have a listen to Praise, because it was great when this song dropped a week or so ago to see a lot of fans actually knew it as well and were waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, we played it like for a while live on the tour we did for The Phage, which was our EP we did with Tommy Stinson from The Replacements.
And, so it's been kicking around for a while.
Yeah, we played it live. It was one of the songs we did live for a good year, European and American tour, and then it just didn't come out. So,
all right, we'll play it now, and you guys are in Sydney Saturday night. at Oxford Art Factory with
yes, sir.
Bleeding Knees Club and Fritz.
Really excited.
Serving up some spread in between sets.
I'll have a spread stand to the right of the stage.
It'll be
dollar for some spread.
William and Daddy, it was great to have you in. This is Together Pangea on Static, and you guys have yourselves a great rest of the tour.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.